Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of On the Horizon. This week, I'm going to be talking with my brother, Austin Ratliff, who's in charge of our engineering department here at Casper Outdoors. We talk a lot of how do you get in the space as an engineer, as well as our Stiller transformation that we went through this last year with the Stiller Actions. And so this week, the episode is going to be actually brought to you by Stiller, and Stiller is proven in the aftermarket bolt action receiver space. And we really hope you enjoy this week's episode, so let's get to it. Austin, appreciate your coming in here and hanging with me on this.
Yeah, it's a little hardcore in here. I think last time I was in here, it was a completely empty room, and now we're set up. So
pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
So I mean, that leads off well. Tell us about most people don't realize. I guess we started this in a garage, in a two car garage, in like 2012-13 time frame.
Yep.
Tell us. And I think everybody would be interested in knowing what have we done the last year in a new facility and where are we at? And
well, I think I was actually thinking about this a lot yesterday because I knew we were coming on this podcast, right? But I don't think people realize how, I like to call it like redneck ghetto we were back in the day, right? And so I was thinking about, you know, some of the comments on the production floor and where we are now in regards to, oh, we don't have the adequate paint gun. You know, we don't have a 6-class 4A B oven, right? And I look back at where we were, and even the oven that we had used back in the day, we were using a Harbor Freight paint gun, right?
Oh, yeah.
We were using, we had an old, what is it, Grizzly safe?
We found a, well, I think it was Grizzly. We got it at Academy.
Yeah, and we basically ripped out all the guts on it and took an old oven stovetop and ghetto rigged it and redneck rigged it all together.
But it worked.
It worked great. That's why I don't think people understand of the garage shop days and the entrepreneurial type of environment. Yeah. That Horizon used to be. And like I said, there's still some of that kind of hang around.
Yeah. Best thing about that oven was if you plugged it into a 220, it got to the exact right temperature.
It was perfect.
But if you ran it more than 2 or 3 barrels at a time, it caught on fire.
Yep. And that's fun. You know what I mean? Like I said, that was the garage days. And so it's been interesting to see, I guess, over the last, several years and kind of my time going and working in at corporate in China for a little while and then coming back, I kind of missed that transition period of the old building to where we are now in the new facility.
That's a good point. You sort of missed
it. So there was this like blip, right, that occurred. And I think when I left to go to China for a little bit, we had, several employees. And then when I came back, it was a whole host of individuals that, I had no idea who they were. But it was, it's interesting to see. The new facility it's incredible. We've got a lot of new gadgets when it comes to the engineering side of things. And into the CMM and measurement and inspection world that we didn't have. Like we're way past the garage shop precision eyeball, as
but,
I would say.
Precision eyeball. But I will say that kind of fun thing about that, I was downstairs in the gun area, and we had a gun. It was one of the first ones we built come back. Not for any reason besides he's switching from a Bell & Carlson stock to one of our new carbon stocks.
Nice. Awesome.
And so it was kind of fun to see the barrel in action. And honestly, dude, quality of paint job, the gun still shoots incredible.
That's what I'm saying.
And so it's kind of fun to see, there to here.
Yeah.
And like you've talked in between, a couple Aggie 100 wins in there. And you actually won, the second year we did the Aggie 100, you won youngest Aggie 100.
Yeah, that was interesting. I think it's on my LinkedIn too, so check it out.
Check it out.
But yeah, it's been a very interesting ride thus far, and I think there's a lot of exciting things going forward, especially with Stiller and whatnot as well. So
when you're thinking about, and I think it's a great deal here, when you're thinking about entrepreneurship in this industry, what would you recommend to somebody trying to get in it?
Oh, that's an interesting question, especially with all the engineering interviews that we've done for the positions we have open, because we kind of get that question fairly often. For people who are just starting out, and what I am looking for, at least from the engineering side, is people who are hungry They are analytical, but can take feedback and criticism and iterate both on how they are thinking and actually from a product development standpoint, right? Because you're going to have mistakes all the way,
yeah.
Every time. Nothing will be perfect the first time. Absolutely never. and so people who can kind of adapt.
This is the difference between engineering and, yeah. and me, sales and marketing. I'm like, it's always perfect the yeah. first time. There's no way we'll miss yeah, this.
No chance. and so, you know, individuals who can adapt, be logical in how they take the feedback and iterate, I think it can go a long way.
Yeah.
Whether they're engineering or not. But to get in this space, I think you have to learn to adapt.
Well, one thing I think a lot of people are seeing this. One thing I've noticed quite a bit is the especially the recent grads that we're interviewing, mm-hmm. everybody seems to be so much more specialized than what I think people used to be.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to find well-roundedness. Mm-hmm. I think that's been an interesting thing.
And I think, hoping my engineering team's looking at this, but, you know, whenever we are building, like I said, that engineering team that we've got so far, you know, there's been key individuals that I've hired that, you know, have that background of, you know, they're not PEs, right? But they are very, very, very engineering, you know, what your stereotypical kind of individuals, right? But we also have some people on the team that, you know, sometimes, depending on what the team looks like, I would prefer that, you know, air quoting here, redneck farmer type individual that can like get it done and that is you know, fabrication savvy and know what a gun is, right? Cause, yeah. I mean, we have several engineers that are aerospace, yeah. right? That they've never really touched a gun, right?
They may have messed with a rocket,
but yeah, exactly. which is a little bit different. But having a well-rounded, unified team that kind of have those you know, subset of personalities work really, really well together.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, So talking about kind of the evolution of the company-wise, right? So starting out in the garage, we're doing custom guns, and really kind of, I always framed it as West Coast chopper style, yep. and we're still doing some pretty odd custom guns. Yep. I was looking downstairs at some of the stuff. I think there's some more snakeskin coming up, which is always,
yeah,
always
interesting. To see.
Interesting. You know, developing IOTA. So, you know, just want to kind of take us through the progression here. You know, for people who've got a company. I mean, I love seeing new people enter the space. Right? We always laugh for like it's the same 30 people. They just work in different, you know, areas. Everybody just gets shuffled around. And I really like the firearm space coming out of the archery space because I feel like archery was moving really fast. The gun space has moved slower, and it's starting to move yeah. faster. So I feel like we're on the front end of that. So, you know, people with, you know, ideas and stuff, you know, really want to kind of encourage you to, you know, follow that dream. Make sure you work on your products and such there. So, yeah. you know,
the what I was going to say, well, we've actually talked about this a little bit in the past, and we've seen it at various SHOT shows, is your point in regards to, you know, we're seeing the firearm industry move faster and faster and faster. Like, you mm-hmm. know, you know, you have that perspective of the bow industry. But we always ask, like, why is that? And it's interesting to see, you know, this the AR market go up and down, up and down, up and down, right? And then you have these swings of individuals that, you know, like, crush it in the AR yep. market, right? And then, you know, hey, maybe there's a little downtick here, like, which is normal.
Yep.
And now they're kind of spooling up on the bolt gun space and being a little more creative. You know, yep. you got that tactical yep. type stuff coming on, which is really kind of challenging everybody to, like I said, design and iterate yep. quickly. But yeah, to that point, it's been very interesting to see.
I think we'll see in the next 3 years, I think we'll see a lot of waves in new development.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be, you're kind of who's on the front end of asking, like, how do we incorporate some cool things into old technology? Although, I mean, think about it on the custom gun side. What are we seeing now, though? People are wanting, you know, guns that look like what they grew up hunting
yeah,
with,
true,
right?
True, true,
and
true.
So, you know, really it's been interesting to see the blend of carbon fiber barrel with a fully wood stock,
yep.
you know.
And that's what's cool about one of our, you know, customs that we started, 2013 or so, 14. maybe it was a little bit later than that, that we started doing the hybrid wood and resin kind of carbon fiber, like hybrid stocks, trying to kind of blend that, you know, old school versus versus new school look. But
it's kind of fun. You see that. I think, and I think probably most industries see that, you know, where like now, you know, 90s pants and 2000s, you know, band shirts are cool again, right? So it's it's that kind of, you know, recycle and mix that I think we're seeing in the gun space. And so, you know, out of the custom gun space, you know, fast forward to 2014, we're starting to get in the carbon fiber IOTA space. So tell me a little bit, you know, you had a pretty much a single hand in getting IOTA up and going and learning carbon fiber. How did that happen?
Well, let's not beat around the bush, right? The IOTA getting it up and moving was an absolute mess. Yeah. Not necessarily from business side only, but literally as well, right? Because we started out in the wet layup side of things, really not knowing. We don't know.
And
right?
For people who don't know, when we say wet layup, you know, when you're manufacturing carbon fiber or fiberglass, I mean, boat holes, anything, you've got kind of two main methods of manufacturing that part. Either A, you have a dry cloth and you smother it with
some sort of resin system on it, right?
Basically honey.
Yeah.
and then it's a giant messy process, but probably more common. And then you have sort of a pre-impregnated, so you get a giant sticker that already has the stuff bedded into it.
Yeah.
And so that's what he's talking to when you talk about the messiness of wet layup. So,
and like I said, we used to have a tool and die shop within Casper Companies. And so we took some of that information, but like I said, we're not tool makers from trade, right? So what does a carbon fiber or, you know, stock composite mold look like? We don't know, right? So we have moved a lot since we first started in regards to basically just hollowing out a aluminum, you know, block essentially, and, you know, poking some holes in it and trying to make it work. But yeah, from your perspective, back to the oven comment, even when we first started, right, we had this aluminum tool that was basically just a cavity of a stock with some holes in it, wet layup and resins and fabrics all over the place, and even the oven, the curing oven for that was essentially probably shouldn't be talking about some of these things, but that oven was plywood, wasn't it?
It was a plywood oven. Yeah. I don't know if that was I don't know when we thought that was a great idea, but it worked.
Hey, it did work for several years, and then it didn't, and then it worked some more, and then we finally decided to get rid of it.
Yeah, now we've got custom European ovens with POCs that ramp angle.
And that's what's interesting about where we were to where we are now, right? So we did the wet layup resin, wet layup process for several years that had the kind of gel coat sponge to look on the outside, and then we made the decision in 2016, 17, maybe, somewhere in there, to try to offer something that was a little bit more robust to the customers, you know, offer an exposed carbon fiber look. The best way that we chose to get both those worlds was through some pre-impregnated fabrics, right? And we've made some pretty bizarre ones, like onesie twosies out of like Kevlar, or like you know, colored carbon and glass mixes. So nowadays the process, we got much more sophisticated molds, much more sophisticated ovens and control systems within the process. And like I said, we're using a much more advanced material nowadays, which is getting us better product for the end customer.
Which is interesting, because when you look at the firearm space, like if you're a builder, you know, looking for stocks, there's really only three or four, you know, maybe four builders you can kind of get that from. So, you know, it's a process that we were like, oh yeah, we'll just make these. And I think, you know, it ends up being a lot harder than you think. But, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize too that the big guys, you know, most of your big OEMs don't manufacture 100% of the parts in house,
and so, or they lean really heavy outside, but they lean really heavy into injection molded products, right?
Yeah,
which is fine. But you know, to your point, getting a little bit higher performing product, you know, you kind of have to go elsewhere. And to your point, like I said, there's three or four kind of composite stock companies. I mean, it's growing, but that's where we're at.
But shameless plug, if you need a custom. If you need a carbon stock and you want it custom designed, you know, that's really where a lot of your engineer group focuses on. Are you getting ready to build your next bolt action rifle and looking for a receiver? Be sure and check out Stiller Action. Stiller is one of the longest standing, most proven bolt action receiver manufacturers in the space, manufacturing everything from 22 long rifle all the way to 408 Chi-Tex. They're making everything right here in the great state of Texas. To learn more, be sure and visit their website at stilleractions.com. And now, back to the show. Talk about the engineering team. So we go from, you know, garage and no engineering team to talk about building that engineering team out of those last year.
Sure. So in 2021, I guess is whenever I went to, you know, a corporate facility in Shiner.
For most of you who don't know, we've been talking about that some. So around 2015 with Horizon Firearms, we teamed up, merged with Casper Companies. Mm-hmm. So Casper Companies, 120-year-old fifth-generation company, multiple different conglomerates. Now we kind of operate as Casper Outdoors with all these different outdoor companies underneath that. So we reference corporate, we're really referencing the Shiner facility, which is the 120-year-old facility. Yeah. So Austin got to spend some time there for a while.
For about a year, driving about an hour or so to work every day from Seguin. So anyway, in 2021, like I said, we took a role there in regards to, building an engineering team for what we pulled out as Casper Outdoors, right? And so Casper Outdoors was the outdoor brands, KWW, Horizon, IOTA, and now Stiller. And Texas Ammo is associated with that as well. But what we wanted to do is kind of bring an engineering team together that could service all brands together. And that was a challenge because we've, you know, in the past, we have always had, you know, one to two, fabrication-minded individuals per brand that was kind of do their own thing. And so over the last year, we've tried to kind of build out some engineering processes and systems in regards to how we operate as a kind of department. How do we service the customers, being Stiller, Horizon, and IOTA? And we've broken it down through multiple different org charts over the last 2 years with, a design engineering group, a manufacturing engineering group, quality, our programming and tooling department is all kind of within that same department as well. And this year we'll be kind of splitting it up a little bit to have a kind of continuous improvement engineering function that will have a dedicated design engineer that will be really focused on, you know, reverse engineering and improving our products, both from a quality standpoint and an operation standpoint. And then we'll have an MPD group, which will be a designer, ME, and a programmer really focused on new product development, right? Because, once again, let's be real with ourselves. We just acquired Stiller. We put a ton of reverse engineering and process improvement steps in place to kind of balance the production flow out and balance the quality for our customers. This year we're really focused on driving that channel, both from a new product development for Stiller, IOTA, and, you know, even Horizon with some of this core stuff coming out. And then, of course, we have an R&D and robotics team that we're working on developing now to focus on some automation pieces within the business.
So for, before we leave the kind of carbon fiber composites space, so for the average shooter, tell me about, if I was to pick an Echo stock, why is that Echo stock going to matter to me as a shooter? Or really, not just in IOTA stock, but if I want to upgrade from a plastic factory stock, what benefits am I actually getting?
Yeah. So let's talk about my favorite one is let's pick on the Tika stocks for a little bit, right? And so in my opinion, one of the best factory action, I'm sure some people will disagree, or there'll also be a little subset that are going to be amped up. But the Tika stocks have a extremely smooth action. They shoot fairly well for a factory stock or a factory firearm, but the stock and the bottom metal, might as well just throw it away. It's basically Tupperware, right?
To be fair, on their side, when you're hitting price
points, of course, you got to.
That's the best place to cut, right?
And if I was, to go and buy a factory gun, shameless plug. That's probably where I would go.
Yeah,
for the most part. The Recoil Lug system's strange compared to everybody else, but other than that, the action smoothness is out of control. But anyways, back to why go with the composite stock is for rigidity and repeatability for the most part.
So explain, break that down to the layman shooter here. So what is rigidity?
So it's you know, how much that stock is going to flex whenever you're, you know, putting pressure on it. Are you, whenever you're loading on like a sandbag or whatnot, is the barrel channel going to flex and touch, and you're not going to have a free-floated barrel anymore? Whenever you fire, is your barrel placement going to be somewhere different, and you're going to have, once again, you're not going to be free floated. And so all those things can be addressed with a little bit more robust build when it comes to a stock. In addition to their extra features, factory stocks have came a long way over the last few years as well. But for the most part, you typically get additional features, whether that be integrated recoil lug, or not recoil lug, integrated picatinny rail at the front of your stock, whether it be a harsher negative comb, a different heel, that kind of make it a little bit more repeatable for the end consumer to take the same shot every time.
Yep.
And not get jacked up by recoil every time, because the comb is actually inverted and you have this massive cheek wheel, right? And you can make some adjustments on the grip section that you don't get from some factory stocks, right?
Which is hard. I mean, a lot of times you're trying to hit the mass market. And that's the hardest thing with the custom stock world, is that's why you see even us trying to build and create more models and more features, because everybody holds their rifle different. But fundamentally, you're looking for, can I get a rigid stock? And
that's the tyrant.
All right, so here, you're kicking me off or what?
No, here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
So this is our 22 Creedmoor segment.
Okay.
So here we're going to do, because the 22 Creedmoor, known as kind of a wildcat round, super fast, something that we pioneered here, we've got our lightning round. 22 questions, random here. You haven't seen these.
Okay.
And we're just going to rapid fire through.
I can't wait. Do I have a time on how fast I need to do them?
No, okay. You don't. We'll see where this leads. So what's your favorite animal to hunt?
Oh, favorite animal? Coyotes, by far. Or
why?
Coyotes, I guess, as some people would say it.
Why is that?
It's unpredictable. It's a little bit more adrenaline driven, in my opinion. Like I said, you can go out and you can shoot a whitetail. You can do some other more guided hunts, which is fine.
Yep.
But for me, I like the kind of sporadic, like in it, kind of hunt it.
Don't disagree. What's your favorite caliber?
6.5 Creed.
Okay.
Sorry. I know 22 is fantastic.
That's
22 is great.
That's fine.
But
so shoot. So when you're calling those coyotes, what's your favorite call? What's your favorite sound to use?
Favorite call?
Yeah.
We use Foxbow forever. Everything, right?
Yep.
Favorite call. The challenge is always interesting to get some stuff,
like a little feedback. Challenge
howl
there.
Some feedback. Yeah.
What's the coolest gear that you've seen lately? Doesn't have to be hunting, but what's the coolest product you've seen lately?
Coolest product? There's a lot of things at SHOT Show in 2023 that were interesting. There were some very unique takes on like a bull pump, bolt action kind of chassis that actually did a trigger well. I can't remember the name of the company, or I would put a plug in here. Interesting.
I'm personally very intrigued by the
bullpup
concept, especially with the suppressors. So we may have to play in that area
something
next.
One day. Yep.
What's your favorite fast food restaurant?
Taco Bell, hands down.
Hands down.
Cheesy gordita crunch, no spicy French, Diablo sauce, it's best.
I love it. What's your favorite trophy?
Favorite trophy?
Yeah.
Favorite trophy.
It doesn't have to be actually an animal trophy. It could be an actual trophy trophy. Now that I think about that.
No. The whitetail, not to get like sentimental but one of our first hunts, first trophy we had, he took me on at our granddad's place. And so I think that's probably the favorite one that I've got.
Dude, an 8-point. Called that deer up with one of those cans. It was the first year that Primos came out with the bleat can, and it actually worked.
Yeah.
Beach or mountains?
Mountains, hands down.
God, everybody says mountains. I totally agree. I don't like the sand.
No.
European or shoulder mounts?
Shoulders.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
One survival item you would take with you on a hunt?
One survival item? maybe some flint or steel, something to make a fire with.
Keep telling me. I'm shamelessly plugging. I'm not getting paid for this, but the phone scope pyro putty stuff's amazing.
Oh, it's just...
very much amazing. How would you describe your hunting style in three words?
Fast paced, and but lazy at the same time.
Fast paced, lazy.
That's why I said coyotes, dude. You got to get in there, call them up, and then it's
done.
You're going.
What favorite camo pattern?
Gap.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad one. That's
classic.
Not a bad one. Favorite sports team?
Dallas Cowboys. And Texas A&M Aggies.
Better be the Aggies. Both disappointing to watch.
They are, both of them. Very similar.
But we're hopeful. We're very hopeful. What's one thing in your hunting bag that doesn't belong there?
So in the drag bag that I have that has that 6.5 Creedmoor in it, I've got a bunch of miscellaneous, this is going to sound terrible, miscellaneous ammo grains in there. It's like, hey, am I shooting 129s today? Am I shooting, you know what I mean? It's just a mixed bag. You just pull it out and roll with it.
Understandable. Spotting scope or binoculars?
Binos. I have a hard time looking through the spotting scope.
That's one question that I'm always surprised people pick binos. Yeah. I'm such a spotting scope guy myself. Favorite hunting snack?
Gushers probably.
Oh, you can't. Yeah, throwing it old school.
The Scooby snacks, those little tiny ones. You can't go wrong with that, man. Those are good.
Love you some Scooby snacks. Solo or guided hunts? We spoke to this a little earlier.
Man, it depends. I like solo hunts, but how to say this? It's not really a guided hunt. Solo hunts, but with a group of individuals.
Like okay.
When you go spotlighting, right? You got your buddies with you.
That's fair.
Is the best.
So a group. Solo hunt.
Yeah, however you want to word that. Yeah.
Hand loads or factory ammo?
Factory.
Yeah.
Like I said, back to the lazy.
I hear you. I understand. What animal would you be?
What animal would I be? I don't think I've ever sat and thought about that. Maybe a bobcat. Bobcat's cool.
They're
fast,
pretty cool.
Agile.
You know, side tangent on bobcat, and I think it just showed up on the Horizon. If not, I could probably post it to Horizon. Remember when we shot with one of the first 322 Creedmoors? We went to Satterwhite's, and we shot. I've never seen this before ever. Called in a bobcat. Austin shoots this bobcat. We go pick the bobcat up, and it has a vole. Lockjawed in its mouth, and so have a picture of Austin holding this bobcat with the vole still in his mouth. So he had picked up a snack and then came into the call. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
And that actually, I think that photo must have been, like I said, it came up on my Facebook, like one of the anniversary things. Yep. You know what I mean, just the other day, I saw that.
It was Creedmoor number 3.
Yeah.
What is your favorite wild game dish?
Wild game dish. That's interesting. It's not really a dish, but any sort of wild game jerky. I'm all about it. I don't like making it, but when you make it, all about it.
It is kind of a pain to make that. What's the last book you've read?
It has to be something in regards to Casper Company's business related.
Okay.
I can't remember what it is.
A Lean Turnaround?
It's got to be Lean Turnaround. Or Who Took My Cheese?
Cheese?
Who Moved My Cheese? So, yeah, it's the same, right?
It's funny. Camelback or Nalgene?
Camelback.
Oh, you're the only person so far that has said that.
Anytime we go hiking, that's what I got. Always.
I don't know how you clean them.
You don't. You just take it.
And obviously our last question in our 22 question round is, have you shot the 22 Creedmoor?
Yeah, of course. We just talked about that. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to On the Horizon podcast. Of course we can't go a full episode without talking about Horizon Firearms. So when you're looking for your next custom rifle, be sure and check us out at horizonfirearms.com. We look forward to doing business with you. Now, back to the show. So, talking about Stiller.
Okay.
Right. So for everybody who knows or doesn't know, Stiller really was the first clone action company out there. So meaning, you know, the guys that took the Remington 700 footprint and made it a lot better, made it way more consistent. You know, Jerry Stiller did a really good job. That company's been around since, I'm going to say, the early 90s probably.
Yeah.
I should know that, but I don't. And then, you know, so kind of our mantra going forward has been proven. So that company was acquired. We acquired the company from the person who acquired it. And so we've had that company now about a year.
Yeah, a year and a few months. Yeah.
So you hit on it earlier, but tell us really what I mean, you know, we're being very transparent with everybody kind of in space. I mean, it was really kind of a mess that we're really rebuilding. I say a mess operationally, not necessarily on the product side.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what this last year with Stillers looked like.
Oh, man. It's been one thing after another and kind of peeling back that onion, but it's been good. And what I mean by that with, you know, without trying to go into too many side tangents, is that, you know, when we initially acquired it and moved everything, it was essentially a complete relearning of what Stiller offers. Because, like, unfortunately, you know, we didn't bring anybody besides Reggie, which, yep, on with the move. And so,
so we moved that facility from Garland, Texas to Shiner, Texas, you know, which is about a 5-6 hour move with all the different machines, into our facility at corporate.
Yeah. And so there were some legacy, you know, whether it be legacy programs, legacy drawing packs. And within that, you know, kind of time frame from, you know, when Jerry had it, to when the other individual had it, to now that we have it, you just don't know what has been changed, whether it be, you know, what rev are we on? What are we actually making? Is it right? And I guess one of the more fundamental questions is, what does good look like, both from operations standpoint and for the end customer, right?
Yeah.
And so over the last year, we've been dedicating almost all of the engineering time that we have in regards to reverse engineering that, understanding what the programs are, why they're like that, can we adjust the speeds of it, what tooling are we changing, can we open up tolerances, do we need to tighten tolerances, what are the coatings. Like, it's just been a nonstop reverse engineering project.
And also, I think that speaks to, like we talked about, one thing, we'll talk about this here. You know, when you go back and look at starting a company, you know, it's like, oh, well, people always say, well, what was one thing you would have changed? And I think that you see that a lot of times, like, you know, no fault of their own, but Stiller was essentially iterating as they were going without keeping the rips. Everything was in the machines, and so it makes it very difficult to learn that.
Yeah, and like I said, there were some legacy kind of breadcrumbs along the way, right, which helped quite a bit. And, of course, Jerry has been a phenomenal resource, and, you know, we want to make sure that we do his name right, which has always been really important for us. But like I said, this whole year has been complete reverse engineering, making sure that we have the quality and the speed of delivery, which I think we're close on kind of getting over that hump to our end customer to get back to where, you know, back to where we need to be.
I mean, I think, and just being real honest, I think if you took a new Stiller, Shiner made receiver, and you compared it, you know, back with the Wiley manufactured actions, we're back where the Stiller should be. I think the tolerances, you know, of course, part of it's equipment. I mean, we've got some pretty awesome equipment now that we can see actually what those interfaces look like. Talking 3D screens
Yeah, on that note, we'll expand on that a little bit. So, for instance, when we were going through the 338 the Shytex that we're looking at, we don't have solid files of a lot of those, right? Like, Jerry killed it old school style and, you know, programmed it, he had a different software that we're not running. We got a, you know, brand new 3D scanner. It holds plus or minus, I think, 9/10. So plenty for reference geometry. And so, like I said, we took a subset of parts, both from, we tried to get everything from Wiley as we could, and actually run some demo parts that we were on the production floor as well.
When we say from Wiley, I want to clarify that is Wiley, Texas is where Stiller originated. And so basically taking product that Jerry himself had manufactured and getting reference geometry from
100%.
There.
And like I said, fully get the green light into operations, right, on certain subsets of product, it's like I said, we would scan a Wiley, we'd manufacture a product, and then do a comparison between the two and make sure that we had a representative product, and that, you know, when we were setting tolerances and doing testing, that we were hitting what we needed to be.
Yep.
Same thing on the E-tree side of things, same thing on the wire EDM onboarding. All of that was, about good going forward.
When you mentioned the Shytex and the 338s, I mean, that's been an interesting thing this year. I don't think people realize just the Ukraine stuff and how much the interest that's put to quotes and bids for people building 338.
Yeah,
it's been crazy.
Right. Yeah.
And then really on Stiller, you know, Stiller kind of owns the ELR space. So, like, if you're a, you know, extreme long range shooter and you're doing the 2 mile, 3 mile competitions, that's been kind of fun to get to learn. You know, that's not, you know, from a Horizons perspective, that's not our game. But the clientele has been really neat to learn those and learn from those guys.
I would love to get, you know, more involved in that space and grow in that space. In addition to, like, to your point, hey, we kind of have a subset that we own, right? I want to get back and, you know, own the H350 kind of rim designer 700 style bolt action and, you know, kind of go back to that.
So without giving too much away, I'm gonna prod at you a little bit here. You know, what, looking at the next couple of years with the engineering team, you know, can you talk about any of the products you guys are working on, or can you, like, give me some categories a little bit?
So we actually, I mean, we just came out of a new product development meeting here. And like I said, there's some futuristic products that no one is offering that we, you know, we're going to be tackling, whether that be a 24 or 25 project, probably likely. But for the stuff coming this year and that we're targeting for this year's SHOT Show, of course, you look at different companies and you look at their kind of product offerings in terms of features, right? And so we got to get to that point in tandem to kind of going all out on some very interesting, how's this, whether it be through new designs, new material offerings, whatever that might be. We got to get to a certain feature set, whether that be lightweight, right? Whether that be, you know, two-piece, three-piece style bolt handles, whether it be integrated rail, recoil lug, you know, getting to a solid product offering, I think, is what you'll see.
It makes sense. I mean, you know, and that's been the most unique thing about the way that organically, you know, we started talking, when we first started talking, we were talking about, you know, starting it in the garage, I mean, starting IOTA. And I think that's been the interesting thing about organically having these various different brands all together is that, you know, on the Horizon side, we kind of touch one particular customer and learn sort of what they need or what they want. And that helps, you know, drive some of, you know, Stiller's future development. You know, as well as Stiller now has this other subset of customers that are also, you know, building rifles and stuff for customers. It's same thing with IOTA. And so we're seeing, we're seeing a lot more of the market than I think just your average, you know, that's not bad. Just another receiver company is not necessarily seeing all the facets we're seeing. Same thing as another stock company is not seeing all the different pieces. And so it's unique to offer them all separate, but all together kind of at the same time.
And I think I mentioned the, you know, in our MPD meeting, is I would love
new product development.
Yeah, sorry. Is that
all the engineering code.
Yeah, all of our acronyms. I would enjoy understanding more from our customer perspective what product offerings they want to see first. Like I said, I mentioned it. Like, hey, can we come up with some sort of beta program or voice of customer, you know, submittals for, hey, you really need to integrate a reel. Hey, I want a 120 MOA rail for some ungodly reason, right? Yeah. Like stuff like that. I would love to, you know, try to set some of that stuff up. So
shameless plug, I'm going to stop you here because we didn't intend for this to go this way. But if you're listening to this, you know, send us an email at, probably sales at Horizon Firearms. Let us know kind of what you're thinking. If you are watching this on YouTube or one of our other deals, while you're picking the subscribe button, making sure you're subscribing to this podcast, comment down below if you've got something cool or at least a category of something that you're seeing in the space. Let us know.
Yeah, I think that'd be fantastic. Like I said, because most of our, what we, you know, whenever Stiller looks at it or whenever IOTA looks at it, our customer, a lot of times that's driving some of the product development is Horizon. And Horizon's always been very you know, forward thinking in regards to, you know, some crazy things that we've done, so they've been a good customer to push us on the IOTA side, but like I said, I'd love to know more from customers on what they want.
So kind of last section here, and then we'll roll into sort of our final question I've got that I'm not going to tell you about, but if I'm in the engineering, of course, like I know you guys are super involved right now, one of the cool projects, can you talk at all about the Capstone project?
Yeah.
tell me what they are, but
right. So on the, you know, we partnered and looking to, you know, also do internship and stuff like that going forward. But we have partnered with Texas A&M's engineering department, their MMET specifically.
Which stands for what?
Oh gosh, mechanical. You can put me on the spot, dude.
Mechanical manufacturing engineering program.
Engineering technologies.
Engineering technologies. Okay.
Nailed it. and like I said, we're sponsoring two different capstone projects this year related to the firearm space.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's been very interesting. And like I said, the students, you know, we outlined the proposed sponsorship projects, and then the students basically write an essay and proposals to be a part of different projects, right?
That's cool.
And I just want to shameless plug that we were the top two sought after projects out of
that's
the group.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it shows you that your conservative Texas A&M engineering students still do like guns.
Yes, 100%. So, we can see that already. Yep.
So what do those projects look like?
And so I'll touch a little bit about it. One of them is focused around, once again, the new product development on kind of like trying to push the students on like a chassis that has unique features in regards to how they collapse. We'll kind of see how that goes. And the other project is more engineering data driven from a testing standpoint, right?
Cool.
And so we whether do shot testing, we do in-house, or we send out bolts and actions to get pressure tested, whatever it might be, to fatigue tested. We're challenging the students to build a kind of rig for fatigue analysis on both stocks and action bodies.
Yeah, I guess you don't really think about that. Like when you're going to test firearms and when ammunition, is a scarce resource, it's very difficult to continue to test.
Exactly. And, so, you know, trying to log that data and understand how far can we really push some of the designs? How far can we really push some material adjustments in skeletonizing different products?
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's a very good point. So, you know, wrapping up, if I am an engineering student or an engineer, period, and I really, you know, I grew up, I like the outdoor space, I really want to be involved in the outdoor space, any words of wisdom that you've got in terms of classes or approaches or software or things that I should be focusing my time on?
Yeah, so like I said, I'm very different than anybody else probably when it comes to engineering space, because like, I'm not an engineer, right?
Right.
And what I mentioned in the very beginning is, it is more important to me that you have the right mindset and experiences and kind of where you want to go than it'd be like, oh, yeah, I took a structures course. Don't get me wrong. It's very important for certain subsets, right, and certain tasks. But the mental model in regards to how you approach a problem is more important to me. And so adapting with individuals' feedback is by far the most important thing in growing as an individual. And if you are interested, you can always email HR at Casper Companies, CasperCompanies.com.
K-A-S-P-A-R.
K-A-R, yes. And we also have what we coined the Elite Engineering Program, so you can also look at that. There's a flyer and everything of the different things that we're looking for. So you can take a look at that and kind of go from there.
Cool.
Because we're always hiring.
Always, yeah. I think last I heard we have 40-something job recs-ish.
Yes, always.
So last question that I'm asking everybody. Huh? When you think about what is on the horizon for you, so whether that is personal, whether that's in the business, whether that's product-wise, you know, what is on the horizon?
I'm going to go the company route. On the horizon for me and for our engineering team as a whole is I want to have very clearly defined product offerings, right? And I want to be able to say that our operations absolutely crush it and in shipping quality product to the customer.
Cool.
And so I think that's, you know, where our focus has been the last year, you know, in terms of narrow focus. And I think we're going to, you know, continue on that this year. And like I said, I want to be able to walk out there and have, you know, let's call it 10x the amount of people that we have out there. And I want to be in another building and really crank it through some volume.
Cool. No, that's great. And I selfishly love being able to go to a firearm store and actually see your product.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. 100%.
So, well, man, Austin, I appreciate it. And guys, thanks again for listening to this episode of On the Horizon. And be sure, click below, like and subscribe. It's very important to us to know kind of what you think about our podcast and for us to be able to connect with you. And until next time, we'll catch you later.